Thank you. Good afternoon. As Paris said, my name is Eric, short version. I'm a geek. I used quite a few different systems over the years. However, I've only started doing embedded software development less than a year ago. It started when Apple, back in May, published the the embedded Swift GitHub repository with the examples. So I took a look at that. So if you want to talk embedded Swift, well, let's talk Swift. Swift was introduced in 2014, first as a successor to Objective-C for developing for the Apple platforms. But very soon afterwards, it was made open source. It was available on Linux. Nowadays, it's available on macOS, several flavors of Linux, Windows. It's used for scripting, for server-side development, for serverless function implementation, as some of the talks this afternoon will show us. But in terms of embedded systems, there was very little. There was just a few community projects, but that's it. So why is that? Well, let's look at embedded. Embedded systems are all over our daily lives, yet it's quite difficult to find a definition. We might say that it's dedicated hardware for a specific functionality, yet it doesn't cover everything. So in this case, what we'll say is that it is also hardware with limited functionality. So a Raspberry Pi or an Apple Watch wouldn't qualify as embedded, at least in this scope. So let's further compare and see the limitations and compare an nRF 52840, which is a mid-level microcontroller chip, to an Apple Watch Series 0, so the original one from nearly 10 years ago. If you look at the processor, we got a single core 32-bit versus a single core 64-bit. No big deal. Clock speed, we're talking 64 megahertz versus 520 megahertz, so we'll already see an 8 times difference there. In terms of RAM, we're talking 256 kilobytes versus 512 megabytes, so that's 2,000 times difference. And in flash, we're talking 1 megabyte versus 8 gigabytes, so that's 8,000x. So different beast. So we see that if we want to bring Swift to those limited systems, we will need to reduce the runtime overhead, we need to reduce the memory footprint, and the total executable code size. And so embedded Swift is Apple's official answer to this problem. It's a subset of Swift, not the dialect. So it is Swift, but with some limitations. And basically, it adds a compilation mode that adds constraint to achieve the reduction goals that I just mentioned. How does it do it? Well, reducing basically everything that's dynamic at runtime. So there is no dynamic reflection, no existential types. The generic instantiation at runtime is not possible. Of course, no Objective-C interrupt where there is runtime, and no dynamic code loading. Also, the runtime library is quite minimal, mostly concerned about memory allocation and management. There is no need to bundle the metadata either, because the runtime wouldn't use it. The Swift standard library also has some limitations, so no codable available in embedded space. And then the compiler will perform aggressive dead code stripping. How does it look in practice? Well, we add three flags to the compilation. First, the target, which board are we compiling to. Then we enable the embedded feature, which is still experimental to this day. And we have the WMO flag, which is for optimization. And as the Swift user manual puts it, so embedded Swift is a compilation mode that would basically, as a C compiler would do, object files that would later be linked with the rest of your code. So that would be C or assembly or the libraries that you're using. And that linking is done by the target toolchain. So it very little about embedded Swift is concerned with the linking. Enough talking. Let's see about. Let's get started. So if you want to get started, you need to pick a board. Embedded Swift examples from Apple do cover several boards with RISC-V or ARM architecture. There are also some projects on the Panic Playdate or the Flipper Zero, etc. Just pick one. Don't do as I did and buy everything that's available. You just pick one of them. For reasons that are not really relevant to this talk, I went with Nordic Semiconductor's chip. And then when you do that, I would recommend that the first thing you do is install the target toolchain, the target libraries. without thinking about Swift at this stage. So just make sure that you can compile and build and flash your board. In the case of the NRF Connect SDK, this comes also with a handy Visual Studio Code extension. And so you use that and you use some of their examples and make sure that you can build and flash to the board and this works. And then you can move to the embedded Swift examples. I would start from the repository that Apple published. You go there, you find the project that is appropriate for your board. Here is the hello world of the embedded world, so blinking an LED for the NRF chip. And one of the first things that Readme would tell you is to download the latest nightly toolchain of Swift. So you go to the website, and that's the same site that Paris showed you, but there is a section below that says development snapshots, and that's the one you will want, because the current mainstream doesn't yet flash to boards. And then you follow the Readme file, typing all the commands, making sure that you select the toolchain that you just installed. And if everything goes well, you got a blinking LED. Yay! So, I don't know about you, but typing these kinds of commands in a terminal is not the ideal development environment. So one of the next steps that I did was make sure that I set up a proper environment. And there's a bit of jumping through hoops, but basically it's using the NRF Connect SDK in VS Code, the Swift extension in VS Code, and so I can do code completion, and I can, with a single click, build, flash, and I can connect to the board and see the console logs of the board. So that makes for a much easier experience. With that in place, we can start growing from the embedded Swift examples and creating our project from there. So let's take a look at the embedded Swift examples. It starts like a normal C file with the main function, etc. Swift files with the main function, but then it got GPIO, pin configure DT, LED 0, which is not really Swift. Where's this coming from? Well, it's from the bridging header.h, which is a standard C header file, which is used by the Swift C interrupt. And then we can see that it includes the header files for the SDK. So Zephyr is a real-time operating system on which NRF Connect is based. And we see the static variable declared in C, or LED0, which basically represents the pin to which the LED is connected. So that makes a bit more sense. But still, it doesn't look very Swifty to me. That's just using Swift as a glue code for C. That's not what we want. So what we would like is encapsulate those C calls into a Swift struct. So that's what we do. We just have an initializer. And as you can see, we are using some unsafe pointer. And there is a ton of unsafe something types in Swift to do manual memory management. And when you do embedded system, you will need to get acquainted with those. And then we have just a method to toggle the LED. And we can rewrite our main code into something that is much more Swift. One thing we skipped until now is error management. So let's do that. We create an enum to represent the error, and we make the initializer throwing, and we get a compilation error. Fortunately, the compiler is quite explicit. It says that we have a throws, close, and throws is the same as throws any error. Any is an existential. Existentials are not supported, so we need to do something. Fortunately, Swift 6 introduced the type throw, so we just declare the type that we throw, and it fixes our issue. And you just keep going like that, encapsulating what you need from the SDK in this, until you get to something like this, for instance, where we have a button that uses generic. Generic specialization at compile time is fine. We have a trailing closure to do the handler, and so we can go further like that. And I did go a bit further with several projects. They are all open source. So if you want to go on GitHub, you can find the repo for all of them, and you can explore what it is. And so that's an Arc reactor. Contact details are there. Please reach out. And you can also, I try to post quite often on the blog. Thank you very much.